With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today's episode is with Ian Vernon. Ian is the CEO of Dark Matter AB, which is the creator of HenChat, I believe, a new social messaging app which has more than 300,000 number of users across the globe. Prior to that, he spearheaded and developed other technologies, and we are going to be talking about his background and his extensive knowledge with business, with entrepreneurship, and with maintaining apps. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Thank you, Taya. Just one correction there. There are actually more than 650,000 users now on the app side.
Well, there you go. More than 600, we're approaching a million. There you go. Which is a testament to the growth. When I was initially pitched this, it was, you know, at least 300,000. That's been a few months ago. So now that it's grown, I'm excited to hear more about what you've done to get to this level. So why don't you start, though, by telling us your background, the background that, you know, started you on this journey where you now have a social messaging app that reaches almost a million people.
Sure. Before I started Dark Matter AB, which now we call actually rebrand as Pen, I actually started another company called Amantito. That was way back in 2008. And we were dealing with customer experience management. So we are analyzing and collecting experiences that users have on their devices. That business was later acquired by Jingli, a public listed company in China, in 2011. And during that time, we're looking at why can any of these new messaging applications or new social applications provide free phone calls to a normal phone number instead of an app-to-app call or app-to-app messaging. And that's where we started our journey. We look at, can we actually provide free calls, especially in the third world countries? If you look at India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, subcontinent of Asia, there's about 3.6 billion people, and most of them don't have fast internet connection. So we've said at the time, well, if we can provide a service to these people that would allow them to call their loved ones, their friends for free, that would be a service that would benefit society and also empower people who don't have a very good internet connection or who have never experienced the power of internet itself. So based on that, in 2015, we started working on Pen, and by 2016, somewhere in June, we launched the service publicly. So within less than a year, we have more than 650,000 users.
Wow, that's incredible. And the problem that you were trying to highlight earlier, the lack of internet access to some countries, I'm curious, how did you actually go about pitching that to an investor and saying that you could help bridge that gap? Because that, I've been in pitch meetings where people have tried to bring that up, and a lot of the investors haven't been convinced that their solution would be able to bridge that that gap with lack of internet access.
It wasn't that easy to present to investors, because most in the West, in the Western world, most investors are attuned to having an internet connection so that you can connect for free to other people. We look at IP-to-IP communications, right? But if we go back to Asia, in Asia, the largest number of subscribers are all located in Asia. You have China, Indonesia, India, hundreds of millions of users to billions of users. Now, when you look at those markets, the internet infrastructure is not very good. So in our case, when I've set up on this journey, I've said, well, we are able to connect people with normal mobile communications. And to do that, we don't necessarily need pure IP. We can go from IP to non-IP and bridge that calls. So that's what we're doing today. From an IP call, if you're online, and we will terminate the call to a non-IP call, to a normal phone number. It could be a landline or a fixed network. Or it could be a mobile network, but without internet connection. By doing that, we also work with the telecommunications provider. So in some countries, for example, like Morocco, most of the IP-to-IP calls are not allowed. And we are still allowed because we are terminating the calls by one of the mobile networks.
Wow. So, yeah, you found a system to go around that. And, yeah, I can see your background as a telecommunications engineer come through that response. Okay. So talk more about then. Is it Pen Chat or PEN Chat? Pen Chat.
We actually simply call it Pen.
Okay, Pen. All right. They talk more about Pen and why it's so unique compared to other social messaging apps.
Well, Pen is not only a social messaging app. If we look at social messaging, we typically think about WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Or we think about Facebook Messenger. However, Pen is more than that. We actually call Pen a super app. What it does today, you can make phone calls, you can have messaging from IP messaging to SMS. We have emergency services, we have location-based services, we have mobile commerce, and we have discovery platforms. So if you are familiar with WeChat in China, because
yes,
WeChat works differently outside China, WeChat in China is a similar category of super app. It does a lot of things for you. So in Pen, it does a multitude of things, not only messaging. Messaging is a small part. If you look into our users, most of their usage are not messaging. It's mostly into the social media itself, and communications, mostly phone calls. And those phone calls are to normal phone numbers, not into an IP number.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I do have a lot of friends that use WeChat, and they've told me on multiple occasions you can do anything on WeChat, whether it's order film, order food, or travel, or whatever. You can do it on WeChat. So is that where you see the technology trends going? Where apps can do it?
In Asia, yes. It's very difficult to bring that trend into the Western world, say Europe or the Americas, especially North America, because we in this society are very used to one single app that does the best of what it do. And we're not used to the Asian concept of everything in one roof. So if you go to Asia, one thing you will notice, these huge, huge malls, they do everything for you, they have everything for you.
Mm.
And most people are used to that. Like in WeChat in China, a single application that can do a lot, from social messaging all the way to shopping and all the way to finding your friends. And in our case, the unique things we do are, one is the emergency services. We enable our users to send emergency services, and they can have their friends to respond to it. And more importantly, all our services will work even though there's no internet connection.
Gotcha. And for those listening, it's called Pen. And I just typed in Pen on my app store here, and it said Pen Chat Social and Personal. So it's an app that you can download at your service. So if you're definitely interested in learning more how you can use this super app, you should definitely check that out. And I'll put that in the show notes for the listeners, Ian. But you talked about those trends, and you talked about the significant difference with the cultures with Asia versus the Western world as it pertains to having one super app. I'm curious, in your background, how do you feel like the Internet of Things is going to continue to impact the future? Because that's another topic that people keep talking about. And I don't know that a lot of people understand the Internet of Things quite yet. So maybe you can start by explaining what the Internet of Things is and how do you feel like that can impact the future.
Actually, when you talk about Internet of Things, I would say, well, that technology has been around for at least 10 years.
Okay.
Which started when, of course, you have the modems. Modems starts communicating with the network infrastructure. And so you have things connected to the internet. Nowadays, when we talk about Internet of Things, we talk about applications. Any devices that can connect to the internet, and then you have an application that runs over it, or an application that controls those devices, then that's our current definition of Internet of Things. Internet of Things is booming. I mean, it's in a few years, I think you will have more than 50 billion devices that are connected or that are online. This, of course, is a challenge to everybody because the large amount of data that we are transmitting in the network. In Sweden, for example, we have experimental 5G networks, and that runs at more than 100 Mbps. This is to support the Internet of Things. This is to support huge amount of data being transmitted. Now, we as people, we actually call ourselves Internet of People, but we as people are part of those Internet of Things because we have our phones, we have a Fitbit, for example, or we have a smartwatch that is connected to the Internet, and it's transmitting not only our thoughts that we write or we mention or we say, but also our biometrics. It also transmits, for example, our heart rates or whatever we measure nowadays with all these devices and wearables.
I'm so fascinated with this because a lot of what I do is figuring out how to connect across cultures. And I told you earlier before the show, one of the reasons I started this podcast was to bridge that divide that exists with globalization and digitalization of things. Now, the Internet of Things seems like it's something that can bring more people together, and there are, you've got critics and you've got proponents of it. And the critics are very loud, so are the proponents. So I imagine that's the same thing with some listeners listening now. So I guess from someone that's so well versed in this, could you talk about the pros and cons, just so that the listeners get.
Well, let's start with cons. I don't know if everybody's aware, but way back somewhere last quarter of last year, there was a big denial of service attack that affected a lot of DNS servers and put several services like Facebook, WhatsApp are down in several countries. Now, these were generated from various devices that were hacked. The problem in the Internet of Things, as we see today, the older devices that are connected to the internet don't have that level of security that the new devices have, and there's no real standard how to secure all these devices. So that's the current problem. Although, of course, in the back end, you have your servers to create additional security. Now, most people don't want Big Brother to be watching and listening on what you're doing.
Yep.
However, that is a trade-off of being online. If we wanted to be online, if we wanted to be reachable, there is always a possibility that somebody's actually looking into what we're doing because we are connected to the internet. We're connected to the grid, as they say. On the plus side, you have all these new services, like Alexa, for example, all the beauty that your fridge can talk to you and do your own shopping, right? So that's the beauty of Internet of Things. Or your car can be connected. It can drive itself. We've seen a lot of these driverless cars and driverless technologies. Even Uber starting to, have driverless cars.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
It is very good in terms of how we progress the technology. It can make our lives easier and safer. When we have algorithms that work, then it's safer. Now, where people are very, very adamant of this technology is on artificial intelligence, on AI. If you look at the chatbots, for example, we have Microsoft Edge and a few other chatbots that were released. Suddenly, the AI learned too quick. But it learned the wrong things because, like any machine, its good input equals to good output. But if you provide bad input, it will give you bad output. So part of us as being human is the responsibility to be able to control how the Internet of Things evolve, how all these machines learn, right? So we can only teach machines the way we think we humans are teaching it or the way we think.
Yeah.
And now, differently, machines don't have feelings like we do, although we simulate machines to have feelings. But what separates and what scares us is that a machine cannot feel, but it is very logical. And logic can be sometimes against to our humanity. And that's where I think the drawback are, where people are a bit scared of these new technologies that are coming in.
Yeah. I'm listening to you and I'm trying to figure out if I'm for or against it. I can't tell yet, but I think I'm slightly, I think regardless of how we feel, we're moving towards that regardless. And I think
we're close to upping the technology towards machine learning and artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And most importantly, the Internet of Things, because it's already there. It's already been there for 10 years.
Yeah, you're right.
Now we're just adding devices and more devices that are interconnected, not only connected to the Internet, but interconnected towards each other.
True. And Elon Musk is one of the people that talks about the AI and how that, we got to be careful about that. So so that we don't get too technical with the podcast, I want to go on to some other tips and tricks here. You're a serial entrepreneur. You've launched several businesses, and a lot of the listeners here are, millennials or younger people who aspire to own their own businesses, whether it's physically or in a digital age. I was wondering if you could talk more about your first experiences and the failures and successes you've had, because
I will do. First experience, actually, my parents, my mom runs her own business. So since I was small, I was I think 11 years old when I started being more engaged into the family businesses. And when I went to university at the age of 14, 15, just before I turned 15, my parents had a taxi business that I started to run. And from there, I realized, if I can run a small taxi business, maybe later on we can start working on some technology. So when I finished university in 96, worked for Ericsson Smart Communications and then met up with some Swedish guys who said, we can do something better with the technologies you're working in. We can create a new company back in Sweden. And that was the first company that I actually started together with a few guys on my own. Came to Sweden with a backpack in the middle of winter, freezing my ass off. But it was worth it. So within from 97 when it started and all the way to 99, it was acquired by Safeco and then later Agilent. And then the same company was sold 3 times, actually.
Wow.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
So, for a lot of us that are trying to start a company, it's not easy. It's a lot of hard work, but we have to stick to the vision that we have and to say, okay, this is what we want to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to achieve. And the question is, how do you achieve that? And that's always the hardest question, because we have a lot of visions, we have a lot of plans as a founder or as an entrepreneur, but it's a question of how, and then it boils down into implementation. Right. So how do you achieve your success? Let's say, for example, if I look into Penn, for less than a year, we've grown to 650,000 users, maybe more, and we're growing. So to achieve that, we of course have to look into how do we grow? How do we focus on our core markets, those people that will actually use our services? So if we look at the company right now, there are what we call foreign workers. They are typically a neglected group of people. They work in the Middle East. They probably are from Bangladesh, from India, from the Philippines or Indonesia, or they would work globally. But there's 220 million foreign workers. So you have to identify your niche market where you want to start your business. From there, you can grow and expand. So once if you look at how Facebook started in the universities, because you just want to exchange pictures and posts, and then it grows to the behemoth that it is today with 1.8 billion users. So it all starts with something small, and then you look at your implementation, how to make it grow the way you want it to grow.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. The point that Ian is raising, Nomads and ladies and gentlemen, is your focus. You've got to have your why and discover what that purpose is. What is it that you want to do, and why is that so important to you? You know, I imagine with a lot of your businesses, you had a very, very strong foundation on the reason why you feel like your business matters. And then you focused on that. And that probably got you through some of the tough times where you might have faced rejection or you might have had to take a detour. But sticking through to that course of action and realizing that this actually impacts the bottom line or lives of your intended target was probably what continued to make you interested in entrepreneurship.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I mean, the failures, the detours, they are very normal. They will happen in every business. And the way I look at it is that you encourage failure. Fail and fail fast. Because when you fail fast, you don't repeat the same mistake. You can create innovative solutions. You might need to change your business plan or you might need to change your business model. But if you can fail fast, then you know what is wrong. Then you can correct it immediately.
No, it's good. I love that you share that story. Now, we talked about some technology trends. Internet of Things has been here, you know, for the last 10 years, and it's only going to stay. You talked about a super app. Can you also talk about the evolution of mobile technology and its potential?
Yes, actually, that is a very, very interesting topic for me. I started in mobile tech when it was 2G, as we call them, second generation. Actually, I started in first generation. At that time, it was analog. It was arms and tax. I don't know if any of your listeners can actually remember that far back, way back in the early 90s, even late 80s, when cellular communication started. From there, we actually have data in second generation. And then we had third generation in early 2000s. Currently, we are in the fourth generation. What is happening and what is coming is the fifth generation. And the data speeds and bandwidth are increasing. Which means, let's say, for example, today at 4G, you could stream with Netflix, and it would take you 3 minutes to download an entire movie. With the fifth generation networks, you will be running cellular, at least in mobile, you'll be running more than 100 Gbps. That means that you can actually download a movie in less than 60 seconds. So where we're moving, especially with the Internet of Things, the amount of data is growing, and we need to be able to support that in the network. And mobile network, more importantly, because a lot of the devices are actually wireless. They're not connected to any of your wired facilities or your fiber cables. If you look at a country like Sweden, we have fiber to home, means that we can have 1 gigabit per second. Into our homes, but we have our mobile phones, we have wearables that are producing data, and then it will send it to the network. So there you need a very, very wideband network and also very, very fast. I don't know if you have tried fifth generation already in the US, Taylor?
I mean, I think some phones have, I think, let me see, I'm looking at my phone, we have something, it was 4G, there's LTE. I don't know if that's LTE is 5G or not.
No, LTE is actually 4G. So you have.
So then LTE, I haven't tried it. Yeah. Yeah. The highest my phone goes is LTE, and I haven't tried 5G.
Yes, 5G is still experimental. I think there are some experimental networks in the US already, but the biggest experimental networks are actually in Sweden. They are driven by Ericsson. I mean, Ericsson coming from Sweden. And a lot of these are, it's happening around this area where we are in Sweden, in southern Sweden, where Ericsson have a big research facility.
Yeah, wow. No, I mean, I feel like I'm in the coolest school here just listening to you talk about all this stuff because you break it down so easily. So, okay, the mobile technology is definitely something that's going to, that for sure is not going away. And it's only expanding, and the amount of things we can do with the speed that we have access to is going to continue to increase. I come from Nigeria. Now, in Nigeria, I spend a lot of time in Nigeria and several African countries. Nigeria, mobile tech, regardless of the internet infrastructure, mobile is growing. It's also growing in Kenya. It's growing in several African countries. I'm curious if you've looked into the African ecosystem as a lot of us 20-somethings are thinking of establishing businesses, because I feel like Africa is primed for some of these opportunities that maybe Asia or you've seen in Asia, where there's so much you can do.
Yeah, definitely. Precast is actually very, very exciting. Why? Because there's not old infrastructure that you have to worry about. Now, we, the young generation, I still consider myself that young, we look at, even though we will not be able to invest, say, billions of dollars in infrastructure, but we can create applications on top of the infrastructures. Mm. Because today, the telco networks, they're just spikes. They transmit data. What you do with the data, how you generate and how you process the data is what's important. If you look at the biggest companies or the most valuable companies today, they're no longer the pipes. It used to be Verizon, it used to be all these big telcos, right? Now it's Apple devices. Now you have Microsoft software. Now you have Facebook applications. So the future is really not necessarily spending billions and billions in infrastructure, but how do you make use of that infrastructure?
Yeah.
To allow the entrepreneurs, especially those who are starting out, that's how you have to think. How do you use that infrastructure so that it benefits your business? How can you use that so that you can actually grow your business based on those infrastructures? Because those infrastructure will be there. It will be available. You don't have to spend billions on it. Just do something that could actually be useful.
Yeah. It's a fascinating world for sure. And I can't wait to see where things go with that, regardless of, you know, the way we're moving. Do you have any, this is probably a little detour, but do you have any thoughts on how, you know, the hacking system goes? Is that something that's related to what you do? Because you got the Sony emails of the elections here, regardless of what politics you side with, where people say another country can impact like a whole decision. Is that something that we can safeguard against? You know,
it's a chicken and egg situation. I would put it away. It's all about security. It's securing your infrastructure. Hacking, I mean, it's been around since the advent of the internet. There are always something there that would actually try to do something else. In the old days, it was mostly for fun. You hack a server because you can do it, and you can demonstrate that you are much better than the security expert they have in house. Nowadays, it's more, of course, a professional and political-based hacking. Now, if you look at France just had their elections last weekend, right?
Yeah.
And the like in the U.S., the campaigns were hacked. Now, the difference was that the French were prepared. They actually put out misinformation in their servers so that hackers don't actually know what they're doing or what they are getting. So every day we learn how to protect our systems, we learn how to protect ourselves, but it's something that won't go away. I mean, it's human nature to be curious. We always have to stay curious. And part of that being curious is, how can I do better than the other guy?
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. And I did read about France putting the misdirection. I thought that was very, very interesting on their part. That's a good way to be proactive. All right, so Penn Chat, what's next for them? Oh, Penn, rather, you said Penn. What's next for Penn? How is your super app going to continue to dominate the rest of the market? Are you looking to stay primarily in Asia? Are you expanding more? You know, what's coming up?
Yes, we in the next 1 or 2 years, we're actually really looking into Asia, especially that 3.6 billion people that has slow internet connection. We're discounting China because China have very good internet connection, and it's a very difficult market to get into. I mean, my previous company before Penn was acquired by a Chinese company, and I know how difficult it is. For Penn, we are introducing new features that will come up. They are mostly in regards to artificial intelligence, helping our users create bots and improving our shopping facilities. Now, growing outside Asia, we're looking at that in 2 to 3 years' time. Although today, Penn users are in 168 countries, the largest users are still in Asia. We are now starting to see a lot of users in North Africa, actually, Morocco, Algeria, Egypt, are using.
You got to go to Africa.
Yes, it is. It is actually. We now have users also in Angola and Mozambique. So Africa is starting to be a market for us, and we're starting to focus on it as well.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but you were talking about it's expanding. China obviously has its own thing. And for those listening, a lot of technology in China have, you know, it's done with their own version. They have their own version of Google, their own version of Facebook, their own version of you know, everything. So, you know, when you said, you know, excluding China, I just wanted to give that context to the audience because China already has their own ecosystem for a lot of the technologies that exist in the Western world.
That is true. That is true. And they have technologies that don't exist in the Western world, like all the super apps that are there. But you have to look at China as an isolated island, as a market that stands on its own because of the regulatory protection. It protects the local companies and any foreign companies that comes to China. I mean, Google and Facebook have learned their lesson that it's almost impossible to get into that market.
Sure. No, this is exciting. So where can we find out more about you and Penn?
Well, we have on our website, www.penchat.net. And also if you search on the App Store and in Google Play for Penn or PennChat, then you'll see our applications. Most of the information, of course, are available on the web.
All right. Oh, awesome. Now I'll make sure I put that in the show notes. But Ian, I can't thank you enough. Before we close, I want to sort of do some rapid fire questions, but this has been one of the most informational type of podcasts because you're talking a lot about what to expect today and the future to come. So I just want to thank you for being graceful enough with that. I really appreciate that. Favorite country in the world, Ian, is where?
Favorite country? That's a good question. It's actually very hard for me to say a favorite country because I like every country that I go to. I actually say that where my feet are standing, I call it home.
You sound like that's exactly what a true nomad in a third culture kid would say.
Indeed. Yes. Like you, I'm a nomad. I'm everywhere and I feel home everywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing. Okay, maybe this might even be difficult. Boy, do you have a favorite food? Like the country with a favorite food? That you have, or do you like all?
Yes. Actually, that I'm a little bit biased because I like the Thai food in terms of the spices because I'm more of the I like the spices, right? So African food is also really great because of all these different spices. I live in the Nordics, so sometimes the only regret I have here is Nordic food, which is a bit bland, to be honest. Spicy food, mostly Asia, Africa.
Okay, gotcha. And music, country of the best music?
Music, I actually listen to a lot of things. Right now, mostly jazz.
Wow, look at you, sir. Well, I'm very, very impressed. That's good. I love jazz. the mission statement of this podcast is use your difference to make a difference. And that's the basis of what I do. It is my why. So I always ask my guests as we close, how they particularly use a difference to make a difference. So how do you, Ian, use your difference to make a difference?
For me, every little thing that we do can actually contribute into making a difference. Now, a lot of people will tell you we are a tiny speck in the big, big universe. But one thing that we need to understand is that the tiny speck is part of that entire universe. Without us, there's no energy that we communicate to the universe. So every little thing we can do, I mean, to improve our lives, to improve the lives of others, and more importantly, to improve the future of humanity, I think that is where we contribute. In Penn, and why I started this company is on that particular direction. I wanted to be able to contribute to making lives better for this generation and for the generations that are going to come.
Oh, love it. You know, contributing to the future and making sure that we as a generation are more prepared for that. I love that. And it's on App Store, right? On Apple? And is it on Android as well?
It's in Google Play and it's in an Apple App Store. You just search for Penn or PennChat.
Okay, awesome. All right, make sure I put that in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Ian. This has been very, very educational, as I said. And you made me seem intelligent just by sharing the stage with you. So I appreciate
that. Thank you, Tyler. Very much appreciated.
Till next week, ladies and gentlemen, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.